Africa's support for Palestine.
Last year, Sudan's transitional government was arm-twisted by the U.S. into normalizing ties with the Israeli regime and abandoning its traditional support for Palestine. Morocco also agreed to normalize ties with the Israeli regime in a deal brokered by the U.S. Now, in return, Washington agreed to recognize Morocco's sovereignty over the Western Sahara. African people have come out to oppose their government's normalization of ties with the Israeli regime. In Sudan, angry protesters set ablaze Israeli flags to protest the country's normalization with the Israeli regime.
The Israeli regime has been using unconventional means to extend its influence in Africa and undermine the continent's support for Palestine. Can the Israeli regime diminish the historical support of Africans for Palestine?
These moves by the Israeli regime towards the African people, they can convince only a few corrupt governments in Africa, and they can also convince a few corrupt politicians in Africa. But the people-to-people love between the Palestinian people and the African people, it's something that they cannot wish away, because you cannot, you know, erase the historical commonalities between the African continent and the Palestinian people. So we will want to, just let the people of Africa know that however much, just like, you know, the brutal colonization of the African continent took about 300 to 500 years on sometimes, and even slavery took 500 years.
Now, Mr. Magama, what's your take on the recent attempts to arm twist some African countries into normalizing ties with the Israeli regime?
We see that there are attempts, of course, by both Washington and Israel in coordination with each other to break down any resistance from our sister countries, from the government, at least from the government of our sister countries. Now, they might score a small diplomatic victory here, get Netanyahu to extend his bloody hand to one or the other African leader. But in the main, you should perhaps, one of the barometers we should use is to ask the question, in spite of what seems to be a successful diplomatic effort, why has Israel consistently failed in the past 7 years or so to get the African Union to accept its, member status in the African Union? It is because while there are these centrifugal forces, that are playing themselves out, or that are, pushing and pulling African leaders, African leaders themselves know that their populations are not, in support of this. Their populations want to see a free Palestine, as free as those African countries themselves.
What's the link between the reform of the United Nations and achieving justice for the Palestinians?
From the behavior of especially the Western members of the Permanent Five, France, the US and UK, that they have absolutely no interest in reforming the United Nations. So because it, for us, is crucial, the UN has to be democratized. I mean, its premier decision-making structure, the Security Council, is perhaps among the most undemocratic structures that exist. A non-resolution of the reform or their inability to reform the United Nations keeps matters such as Palestine forever on the agenda of the United Nations.
Despite pressure from the Israeli regime, Africa continues to officially support Palestine. Last February, African leaders reaffirmed in their 34th African Union summit held virtually that all Israeli regime settlements erected on the occupied Palestinian territories and the Syrian Golan are illegal. During the two-day summit, African leaders stressed that Israeli regime settlements constitute serious violations of international humanitarian law and relevant United Nations resolutions. They also noted that these settlement activities are in defiance of the international community, which demands that they should immediately be halted.
Mr. Angesa, you get the last word. Now, the African Union has been passing resolutions in support of Palestine. Are these resolutions enough, or more tangible action needs to be taken?
You know, the African people, we cannot stop at just talking and talking and talking about the issue of Palestinian statehood or even African Union. They have been passing resolutions against the fascist regime of Israel or the United Nations passing resolutions. Those are good things, but to pass those resolutions are not enough. They have to move from rhetoric to material support, especially those who are able to be able to support the Palestinian struggle, materially.
Well, thank you very much there, Mr. Bukangesa, a member of Kenya Palestine Solidarity Movement, and Mr. Tiseto Magama, a spokesperson of the South African-based Africa for Palestine Movement. It's been great having both of you, and we all look forward to the liberation of Palestine in the near future. That's it for this edition of Africa Today. On behalf of my colleagues here, goodbye for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
People who limit the Quran to worshipping and personal matters haven't understood it. This is a part of a speech delivered on April 14, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at the annual Ramadan Quranic meeting. The speech was delivered via video conference with the participation of a number of prominent Quranic reciters.
The education of children and the issue of tranquility and psychological calm are other areas addressed by the Quran. Psychological calm is one of the most important needs of humanity. Allah sent down His tranquility to His Messenger and to the believers, chapter 48, verse 26. This is also related to the settling of internal storms that we face in life. Another area is the recommendation to acquire knowledge and to understand nature. It is He who has produced you from the earth and settled you therein, chapter 11, verse 61. We should move towards knowledge, wisdom, and the discovery of natural laws and natural truth. The next area that we can cite as an example is our individual behavior.
فيك الحب زاد عما العباد يا خير زاد رمضان يا شهر القرآن فيك أذوق حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان ليتك دوما قريب
And swell not your cheek for pride at men, nor walk in insolence through the earth. Chapter 31, verse 18. And be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. Chapter 31, verse 19. All areas of life are attended to by the Quran. Quranic language is not like the language used in human books where we have chapters with specific issues. In the Quran, Allah the Exalted sometimes conveys a sea of meaning to people with one single word and with a brief statement. If you think carefully about it, if you examine the different aspects of the issue, and if you utilize our human intellects for understanding it, we might find astonishing discoveries in that single word. Another method used by the Quran is that it teaches a point to us while it is narrating a story, short or long, and about prophets or about other people. In the Quran, there are many stories about past generations, and thus we can learn. For example, this might happen in the conversation between two individuals.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to
In what Palestinian observers and advocates call a glaring example of settler colonialism in action, a video circulating on social media recently shows a Palestinian woman confronting an Israeli man who admits he's trying to steal her family's home in occupied East Al-Quds. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Brett Wilkins Ryder. This article is titled, An Israeli Man Trying to Take Over Palestinian Home Says, If I Don't Steal It, Someone Else Will. Stay tuned for the details, please. In what Palestinian observers and advocates call a glaring example of settler colonialism in action, a video circulating on social media recently shows a Palestinian woman confronting an Israeli man who admits he is trying to steal her family's home in the occupied East Al-Quds. According to Al Jazeera, Palestinian activist Tamer Maalada recorded the footage of the exchange between Bona Al-Kurd and a man with a North American accent named Jacob, whom Al-Kurd knows because his family has already stolen half of her home. "Jacob, you know that this is not your house," Al-Kurd tells the man in her backyard, who replies, "What's the problem? Why are you yelling at me?" "I didn't do this," the man insists. "It's easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this." Al-Kurd then pleads, "You are stealing my house." Jacob replies, "And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it." Al-Kurd then protests that no one is allowed to steal it. In what other words, if not apartheid, are we to describe the reality in Palestine? According to Al Jazeera, half of the Al-Kurd family home was seized by the Zionist regime settlers in 2009. Mona's twin brother Muhammad previously told the outlet that the family has been sharing the property with squatters with Brooklyn accents in a situation he described as insufferable, intolerable, and terrible. "They're just sitting in our home, tormenting us, harassing us, doing everything they can to not only force us to leave the second half of our home, but also harassing our neighbors into leaving their homes as part of an effort to completely annihilate the presence of Palestinians from Al-Quds," Muhammad said. Al-Kurd's home is located in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of East Al-Quds, which has been illegally occupied by the Zionist regime forces since 1967, and where Zionist settlers have been seizing Palestinian homes with state support. Last March, a Zionist regime court in the occupied city ordered half a dozen families, including Al-Kurds, to leave their homes so that Jewish settler colonialists could take possession of them. Dozens of other Palestinian families in the neighborhood live under the constant threat of eviction. The inherently unjust system of Israeli regime's colonial courts is not considering questioning the illegal settlers' ownership and has already decided on the family's disposition, a statement from the affected Palestinian family said, according to Al Jazeera. The video's publication follows an April 27th report from the U.S.-based group Human Rights Watch that accuses the Zionist regime of crimes against humanity, including apartheid and persecution. It also follows the publication of videos showing rampaging mobs of far-right Israelis attacking Palestinian people and property in East Al-Quds. The fake regime of Israel was founded largely through the theft of Palestinian land and the ethnic cleansing of more than 700,000 Arabs from their homes in 1948 and 1949. Over 400 Arab villages were destroyed or abandoned, their residents, some of whom still hold the keys to their stolen homes, were never allowed to return, despite a United Nations resolution guaranteeing the right of return. The Zionist regime cabinet minister Moshe Dayan acknowledged in a 1969 speech that "we came to this country, Palestine, which was already populated by Arabs, and we are establishing a Jewish state here. Jewish villages were built in place of Arab villages. You do not even know the names of these Arab villages, and I do not blame you. because those geography books no longer exist. Not only do the books not exist, the Arab villages are not there either. There is not one place built in this country that did not have a former Arab population. Hundreds of thousands more Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from their homes during the Zionist regime seizure of the West Bank, Gaza, and East al-Quds in 1967 Six-Day War.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The debate.
People in many parts of the world have marked International Quds Day, the annual occasion which is held in solidarity with Palestinians, seeks to shed light on their suffering under decades of Israeli occupation. The occupation of Palestine is probably the longest-running violation of international law and systematic violation of human rights. In a speech marking Quds Day, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, underscored the enduring significance of the Palestinian cause. On tonight's debate, we'll discuss this issue.
In a speech marking International Quds Day, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution underscored the enduring significance of the Palestinian cause, saying it remains the most important and vivid issue for the whole Muslim world. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the oppressive and cruel capitalist system has driven a nation out of their homes and denied them their ancestral land and instead installed a terrorist regime and housed foreign people there. The leader said there is no logic more flawed and perverse than the Western-promoted rationale for the creation of the Israeli regime. Ayatollah Khamenei said since the first day of its creation, the Israeli regime has turned the occupied Palestinian territories into a terrorist base, and so it behooves every Muslim to counter the scourge. Ayatollah Khamenei said despite the desperate efforts of Israel and its patrons, particularly the U.S., the downward spiral of the Israeli regime is already in motion and will never stop. The leader said Muslim nations must rally around the Palestinian cause of liberation from Israeli occupation and aggression. He cited two significant factors which determine the future. First and foremost, Ayatollah Khamenei said, is to continue resistance inside Palestinian territories and reinforce the trend of struggles and martyrdom. Second, he noted, is the support by Muslim governments and nations around the world for those fighting for the cause of Palestine. Ayatollah Khamenei concluded by highlighting a widely accepted democratic and progressive initiative to settle the issue of Palestine. A referendum with the participation of bona fide inhabitants of Palestine, regardless of their ethnicity and religion. However, the leader warned that Palestinians should not give up their legitimate and moral fight against the occupying Israeli regime until it's forced to give in to this demand.
Well, joining us on debate, we have Sheikh Mahdi Todd, founder of the Al-Aim Seminary, joining us from Mashhad. Also, we have head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Masood Shajada, who's joining us on the line, if I'm correct, from the British capital. London, let's start off with Sheikh Taib. Sir, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, says the Israeli regime is on a downward spiral. And also Palestine, it remains the most important issue for the entire Muslim world. Please elaborate on the comments by Iran's leader for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's good to be with you guys again from the holy shrine of Imam Rida in Mashhad. It's important for us to know the reality of the regime of Israel today, how it has started and how it grew and how it reached this level that we see today. Israel has reached the weakest stage that it has experienced the last 60 or 70 years. The Palestinians who've been fighting with Israel throughout the existence of Israel after they established that occupied system, oppressor regime, Palestinians were fighting with Israel using stones and just going to streets and shouting against them. But today you see that Palestinians are shooting missiles against Israel, and they're still not showing their full capacity and power. Today, the countries around Palestine and the people of this region and the people of the world have become more and more aware about the reality of this corrupt and oppressor regime. So on one side, what we have is the people of the world and the people of the region and the people of Palestine and Palestinians themselves being more aware of the reality of this regime. And on one side, the weakness and the corruption of the system and of this regime within itself that's collapsing and falling apart in of itself by different groups fighting with one another. What the Israelis are trying to do is to hide the reality of the division that's taking place between different groups and parties in Israel. That's another factor. So on one side, we have Palestinians who have become more and more powerful. On one side, we have the people of this region, the people of the world, who've become more aware of the reality of this oppressor regime. And from the other side, what we have is the weakness of Israel in its system. So when we combine these two factors together, we see that Israel is going down, and we will see the downfall of Israel soon, inshallah.
Mr. Shajada, over in London, International Votes Day, it provides an opportunity for people around the world to express support for the Palestinian cause. How important is a day like this to raise awareness about the Palestinians and their stance against the Israelis and the ongoing illegal military occupation in Palestine?
It's
extremely important. I mean, the fact is this, that unfortunately, there is an illusion that has been created by the Zionists because they have extreme self-control and influence on the international media, and indeed even on the politicians. So what illusion they have created is that they are the only democracy in the region. They are civilized, and indeed Palestinians are barbaric. But I think this illusion is fading away. The reality is that more and more people are waking to the reality of the brutality of the apartheid system. And, you know, we are getting organizations like the Human Rights Watch identifying Israel as apartheid state, and their influence is only present in the elite and the government. Ordinary people are really awakening to this. I mean, right now I'm coming back from a car and open bus double decker rally in London. We went all around London, and you should have seen the responses of ordinary people in the street. They were so supportive that it was amazing. And this is really what is happening, not just in the streets of London, but it's happening in the United States. It's happening around the rest of the world. And despite the fact that they have managed to get some dictators in Middle East to be supportive of them, the reality is that ordinary people are waking up and becoming more and more supportive of Palestinians. And there is a recognition. You know, every poll that has been taken in the recent years, asking people which country is the greatest threat to humanity, and always Israel has been identified as the number one. So really, I think this is very important. But I think at the same time, it's important to recognize that they are trying to normalize themselves. They're trying to use normalization, not in among the government run by the tyrants and the dictators, but also they're trying to present themselves as a respectable religious group. And the fact of the matter is, overwhelming Orthodox Jews reject Zionism as something which nothing to do with Judaism. And I think what we need to do is apartheid system and ideology as they are.
Sheikh Tayyib, in Mashhad, Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that opposing the Israeli regime is tantamount to opposing oppression and terrorism, which should be a collective responsibility for everyone. Unpack that statement for us.
What we see in Palestine is a clear crime taking place every day, an injustice and oppression every day. The existence of this regime is injustice in and of itself. A number of rich people gathering from different European countries and going to a country and buying some lands and then forcing others to obey them through the power of their money and guns, and then killing them every day on a daily basis. So this existence is a form of occupation, and this occupation is injustice and in and of itself. And this injustice is growing day by day. They're getting more and more aggressive day by day. Let's not forget that if we are silent today, if we don't say against the oppression and injustice that's taking place and aggression that's taking place in Palestine today, they will come for each and every one of us in every corner of this world. It's not such that, okay, it's an injustice taking place in Palestine in a limited land, and it's not going to, reach out to other people in the world. No, it's going to reach out to everyone, to each and every people all around the globe, if we don't put a stop and an end to it. This is the reality of oppression and oppressors. Oppressors won't stop if you don't stop them, if you don't force them to stop. And we need to retaliate. We need to start Those who can, those who have the space of writing, they have to write. Those who can speak, they have to speak. Those who can make art, make music, do whatever you can, what, through whatever possible means that you have, to show the people of the world that this is the reality of this regime that's beautifying the ugly face and that's hiding the ugly face of its reality in telling the people of the world that we have democracy here. The only thing that you don't have in Palestine is democracy. The solution that the leader of the Islamic Revolution offered is that let the people of Palestine, all the Palestinians in the world, those who are living in Palestine, inside Palestine, and those who were forced to leave, those who were expelled, to vote. Let them exercise their choice. Let them vote, regardless of their religion, regardless of anything and everything. Let the Palestinians come and vote and decide for their own countries. If they wanted the this system, they can have it. If they wanted to change it, they can change it. And they will definitely change it. They've been fighting against the oppression and aggression of this regime. So the people of the world have to wake up. The people of the world have to get united. Today what we need is a unity against Zionism and imperialism. And this unity is happening. We're getting more and more united, as Mr. Masoud Shajara said, what we see in London today, which is the capital base where everything is started. The support for Israel started from London, from the British government. They supported them. They helped them to establish that oppressor regime. What we see today is that people on the in the streets of London, despite the fact that they know it's going to be dangerous for them going on the streets and shouting out against the regime of Israel, it will cost, it will be pricey for them, but they go there. They don't care about if the MI6 or God knows what services, intelligence services, they see them and they take their pictures and they go to their houses and rape them. They go there, they call for justice. They invite the people of the world to see what's happening and taking place in Palestine, in America, and all around the world today. And
all right, I'm going to bring in Mr. Shajar and I'll stay with us.
To join.
Sheikh Taib, Mr. Shajar in London. This Al-Quds Day comes at an interesting time as it coincides with the Israeli regime's forceful evictions of Palestinians from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah and East Al-Quds. That's happening as we're speaking right now. How can the Israelis carry on with their land grab and settlement building policies, all of which we know are illegal under international law? Is it the U.S.'s support that has emboldened the Israelis to this point?
Absolutely. I think the fact of the matter is that the support of the U.S. and indeed the Western world has made it possible for them to carry on the level of brutality and the level of crime that they are committing, not just right now, but, you know, day in, day out, 7 days a week, 360 days a year. And the fact is that it is up to us, and we know the solution is that the masses need to speak out, because unfortunately the leadership of the Western world is not going to sort of intervene. And they haven't intervened in any other injustices that takes place. So I think this is very important that we as a people need to rise up. And I think the significance of the Ayatollah Khamenei's speech today was for two things. One is the destroying this fallacy of, you know, sort of civilized democracy in the region. And to destroy that, to stop it, and the solution has to be a solution which is by mobilization of masses and mobilization of ordinary Palestinians, and the way that we will all come together to address this thing. And if we do that, indeed we will see the disappearance of this last apartheid system which exists, and I think once that happens, then you know, everyone in the region and everyone in the occupied territory could actually begin to put their lives back together, and we will see another sort of end of another atrocity, as we saw what happened in South Africa with the end of the apartheid there.
Sheikh Taib, back to you. You mentioned earlier the issue, the importance of unity in the Muslim world. controversial stances and policies by some Arab states have made the struggle of the Palestinians much harder now, namely the normalization agreements between some of these Arab states with the Israeli regime. Have the Arab these Arab countries effectively turned their back on the suffering of their Arab brethren?
For everyone, that these so-called leaders are not the real leaders of the Muslim world nor the Arab world. The people today, they know the reality of these so-called leaders. So when we speak of the Muslim world and the leaders of Muslim world, we know that today the people of the Muslim countries, Muslims all around the globe, they've started to realize the reality of these faces that they see on camera here and there, those who speak good but do bad, those who practice differently from what they say. These leaders are puppets of Israel and the United States of America's administration. So the people of the region, Muslims, have realized this. And the only thing that's kept them in power here is their money and the force of their military that they have. So this is the reality of the leaders, and people of this region know it. So when we speak of the support of the Muslim Ummah and the leaders of Muslim Ummah, those who are those who've named themselves the leaders, obviously they don't support Israel, and they try to normalize relationships with Israel and to accept and embrace this new entity in this region. But the people have never accepted the existence of this oppressive regime. Let me tell you something. If the time comes for the final battle between the people of the world, not only the region, the people of the world and the Israeli regime, you see the real unity that's happening today at that time. At that time, you will see people from London, people from America, Washington, D.C., people from Michigan, people from Europe, from France. Everywhere, you see people from Asia, you see people from Africa who will stand up and will go to fight with Israel. This is the reality that will take place.
Very well.
But let me tell you something. We won't get there because the Israel is going down itself because of the divisions that they have, and the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the power of the resistance line in this region will end Israel, and inshallah, will free and liberate Palestine, inshallah.
Okay, sorry for interrupting you there. We are running short of time on tonight's program. Let me thank my guests, founder at the Al-Ghulam Seminary, Mr. Sheikh Mehdi Taib, joining us from Mashhad. Also thanks to head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Masood Shajara, joining us from the British capital, London. Also, special thanks to you for staying with us on this debate. Bye, everybody.
The Limelight. French President Emmanuel Macron has echoed the German government's concerns over President Joe Biden's proposed suspension of intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines, as he urges the United States and Britain to instead start exporting doses around the world. Arriving at a European Union summit in Porto in Portugal, the French President Emmanuel Macron expressed his reservations about the White House proposal to waive patents and criticized the lack of exports coming from Anglo-Saxon countries. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Luke Harding. The piece is titled, Macron Voices Concerns Over COVID Vaccine Patent Waiver. French President Emmanuel Macron has echoed the German government's concerns over Joe Biden's proposed suspension of intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines as he urges the United States and Britain to instead start exporting doses of vaccine around the world. Arriving at a European Union summit in Porto in Portugal, the French President Emmanuel Macron expressed his reservations about the White House proposal to waive patents and criticized the lack of exports coming from Anglo-Saxon countries. "What is the current issue?" Macron asked. "It is not really about intellectual property rights. Can you give intellectual property to laboratories who do not know how to produce and will not produce tomorrow? The main issue for solidarity is the distribution of doses. Today, the Anglo-Saxons block many of these ingredients and vaccines," Macron said. "Today, 100% of the vaccines produced in the United States are for the American market." Neither Britain nor the United States has a formal export ban, but Washington has deployed the Defense Production Act to force manufacturers to fulfill domestic contracts ahead of other orders, whilst the British government's contract with AstraZeneca also prioritizes United Kingdom requirements. A waiver on vaccine patents would allow pharmaceutical companies to make copyright vaccines without fear of legal action by manufacturers such as Pfizer and AstraZeneca. The proposal was aired by Joe Biden's trade representative and advisor, Katherine Tai, on Wednesday. Her claim that the extraordinary circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic call for extraordinary measures forced a public statement from the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, in which von der Leyen said she was open to discussing the issue. Speaking in Porto, Portugal, Ursula von der Leyen took a bullish approach in a sign of the frustration felt at the US approach. She said, "We should be open to this discussion, but when we lead this discussion, there needs to be a 360-degree view on it, as we need vaccines now for the world. In the short and the medium term, the intellectual property waiver will not solve the problem, will not bring a single dose of vaccine in the short and medium term." Von der Leyen added, "We invite all those who engage in the debate of waivers of intellectual property rights also to join us to commit to export a large share of vaccines being produced in that region." But within the European Commission, which had only been informed shortly before the announcement of Joe Biden's proposal, and among the European Union's 27 member states, there are serious reservations. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel had already rejected the US idea, warning that production capacities and the high quality standards, not the patents, is the problem facing the world, and that a waiver would have serious implications. "The protection of intellectual property rights is a source of innovation, and it must remain so in the future," Angela Merkel said on Thursday. BioNTech, a German company, owns a patent on a vaccine jointly developed with the US company Pfizer, which uses the latest mRNA technology. On Friday, the Canadian government said it was also willing to discuss the idea, but emphasized the need to foster entrepreneurial innovation. Canada has actively worked with partners to identify barriers to vaccine access, many of which are unrelated to intellectual property rights, such as supply chain constraints, Canada's Trade Minister, Mary Negg, said. "Our government firmly believes in the importance of protecting intellectual property and recognizes the integral role that the industry has played in innovating to develop and deliver life-saving COVID-19 vaccines." European Union officials, meanwhile, said they had not yet seen the details of Joe Biden's proposal, but there was no proof on the table that the vaccine patents held by the manufacturers had been restricting supply around the world. The newly appointed Director General of the World Trade Organization, WTO, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, a Nigerian economist, echoed the sentiment on Friday, adding that while Africa was importing 99% of its vaccines, patents may not be the critical issue. She said the World Trade Organization, WTO, was aiming for a pragmatic solution that assures access to developing countries to deal with vaccine inequity, while at the same time making sure we don't disincentivize research and innovation. There is growing frustration in Brussels and European capitals that the United States is seeking to take the high ground, given that the European Union-based manufacturers have exported 200 million of the doses of the vaccines, whilst the White House has put a block on vaccines leaving its shores. I would be delighted if the United States shows the same willingness to export vaccines that we in Germany do, Germany's Health Minister Jens Spahn said on Friday. EU leaders are expected to discuss their position on a patent waiver at the weekend summit in Porto, Portugal, with the 27 member states divided on the best way to proceed. A qualified majority will have to be found for a position which the Commission will take into negotiations with the United States and other members of the World Trade Organization. We have not been given a single example where capacity has been restricted because of the protection of patent or other intellectual property rights, one EU official was quoted as saying. If that was the case, we already have the instruments that will allow us to react to that question. Officials said the alternative would be for members of the World Trade Organization to apply for compulsory licenses, where a government permits a local manufacturer to produce a product or process without the consent of the patent owner for domestic consumption. Alternatively, a government could apply for compulsory license to export to a country that lacks the manufacturing facilities to provide for its domestic market. The urgency now is what is the best pragmatic solution to use manufacturing capacity and produce as many vaccines as possible in the short term, the EU official was quoted as saying.